Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey guys, it's Glover. You are listening to Hancock and Kelly filling in for me and the guys because we are taking a week of vacation. So enjoy the boys. We will be back on Monday the 8th. See you then.
I have just two words for you.
Right now, it's Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Happy Friday, St. Louis. The Bronx Bombers are in town. Hancock and Kelly will take you all the way up to the pregame show.
And did you hear what Glover just said?
What'd he say?
He'll be back on Monday the 8th.
He'll be back on Monday the 8th.
Coincidentally, the brother of Henry. The 8th.
That'd be a dad joke there, PJ. Whew, that went over like a lead balloon. Hey, speaking of coming back,
yes,
Matt Carpenter,
yes,
returns to St. Louis tonight. Now with the Yankees.
Having I have to tell you, great season.
I hope he is, and I'm thrilled for him. I was one of those people who was frustrated at the end of the whole Matt Carpenter era here in St. Louis. He had a hard time putting the ball in play. Then he shows up with the Yankees, and he's, you know, crushing the ball out of the yard again.
Well, he changed his swing around over the offseason, and he signed with the Texas Rangers originally, and they just didn't have room for him at the major league club, which is ironic because the Texas Rangers are not exactly a baseball juggernaut these days.
No.
But the Yankees signed him to a minor league deal. They called him up, and he's done nothing but hit ever since, and you love to see it because I got to know Matt Carpenter a little bit, and I know that those last 2 years in St. Louis were just horrible for him. You know,
yeah.
It couldn't get his batting average over 200, and to see him come back like this, and he's 34, 5 years old, I'm going to guess. He's got a young family. They live in Texas, and so the Rangers was a good situation for him. He just couldn't find the playing time there. And to have gone from arguably the most iconic franchise in the National League, St. Louis Cardinals. They won more World Series than any other National League club. And to go to the most iconic franchise in baseball, the New York Yankees, in the span of a career, and to have put up the kind of numbers he will have put up by the time he hangs it up, that's got to be a great feeling. And he's such a good, honorable, decent, kind man. You just love to see good things happen to good people like that.
Well, hopefully he gets the call tonight for the Yankees, and he'll get introduced and get that ovation that he is so well deserved of. Hopefully he does not do what he's been doing up in New York for the Yankees here in St. Louis. We hope he kind of slips into some of his old ways when he's with us, because he could be a Cardinal killer tonight, couldn't he?
It is Busch Stadium, after all. The Cardinals have just released their lineup for the evening. Let's see who's playing. We're going against a left-handed starter tonight. You know what that means. Dylan Carlson leads it off. He's in center field for the Cardinals. Tommy Edman batting second, and he is playing second base this evening. Paul Goldschmidt in that familiar third hole at first base. Batting cleanup, Nolan Arenado, the third baseman, and designated hitter tonight, and batting fifth,
number 5.
Albert Pujols is in the lineup. Tyler O'Neill, he hit a home run last night. He bats 6 and plays left field. Paul DeJong is the shortstop, batting 7th. Yadier Molina behind the plate, yet again catching and batting 8th. And it's Lars Nootbaar playing right field. He has been hot,
yeah,
and batting 9th. And Dakota Hudson on the mound for the Cardinals.
Yeah, and hopefully we need to keep this winning streak going of four games. We're in first place over the Brewers. They seem to be in a bit of a rut. It's going to be important for the Cardinals to keep their stride. But, you know, there is something about the Yankees, right? I mean, look, we have the most storied National League team ever, right?
I think so.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And but the Yankees are bigger than baseball, if you will. They're the biggest, maybe the biggest sports franchise on the planet. And that's going up against some of the Premier League teams and throughout the world.
23 world titles for the New York Yankees. And they win them in bunches when they win them. They'll have a decade of dominance. And they were great in the 20s. They were great in the 50s. They were great in the 2000s with Joe Torre at the helm.
And there's pressure on the Yankees that probably doesn't follow many other teams. I mean, you know, we have a significant press corps that follows the Cardinals. But at the end of the day, the Yankees and the Yankee manager probably have as many people that follow them around from the press corps from around the world as the president of the United States does.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they've got some serious focus on them. And I have to tell you, selfishly, I'm most excited about Aaron Judge coming to St. Louis. I'd like to see him in person, number one, because of his size and what he's done. But I think we are witnessing something like a young Albert Pujols. This guy has the potential to go down as one of the top 10 to 20 baseball players of all time if he continues on the trajectory he seems to be, particularly this year.
Yeah, this has been his best year, and he's had some good ones. He's on a pace to hit 66 home runs this year. Could challenge Barry Bonds' single-season record, I suppose, of 74. That's the all-time record in baseball, artificially enhanced though it was. But this guy is really something special, Aaron Judge. And he's hitting for average this year as well. He's well over 300. And you're going to arguably see the two best players in baseball this season in this series in the person of Aaron Judge and our own Paul Goldschmidt, who's just having a phenomenal season.
Yeah, the MVPs for both leagues may be on the field this evening. And let's just hope that the Cardinals can continue. They have been on fire the last couple of days. And I got to tell you, I was a little bit down when we were at our games in Cincinnati there because we should have been creaming Cincinnati.
Yeah.
But then they got their stride going when they came out of Washington. And then, of course, the Baby Bears came to town. And now the Bronx Bombers are here. And, boy, it's going to be an exciting – I bet it's almost a playoff-like atmosphere over at
the
ballpark.
Oh, it's going to be festive. Yeah, it will be festive this weekend. There's no question about that. The Yankees don't come to town that often, every 3 or 4 or 5 years or so. But, this is going to be – and this the other thing about this series, Michael, is it's going to really be a good snapshot into exactly what we're dealing with here with the Cardinals. Because this is the best team in baseball so far this season – coming to town.
And are they still on this trajectory to maybe be the best team ever in baseball?
I mean, it's hard to maintain that, but they certainly are. And the other thing that I think is going to be fascinating, tomorrow night's game, Jordan Montgomery, the pitcher that we acquired from the Yankees in exchange for Harrison Bader, he gets to start for the Cardinals tomorrow, the left-hander. And he's a big part, potentially, of the Cardinal ball club now down through the end of the season and hopefully into the playoffs, and he'll be facing the only team he's ever played for, the New York Yankees, and that'll be tomorrow. That should be a really good ball game as well.
Did you hear the sad news that was announced yesterday that Days of Our Lives is no longer going to be
that's horrible.
A soap opera? They're doing away with it?
Man.
Did you used to watch Days of Our Lives in the day?
I was not a big Days of Our Lives person.
What were you into?
When I was in college.
Sure.
Because
we all did.
Wasn't going to classes. I watched General Hospital.
Ooh, Luke and Laura.
That was right in the middle of all that in the Prometheus disc. I seem to recall it was a big thing back then. And, yeah, so that was my morning routine was to sleep until noon. And then I'd go grab some lunch here over at the Graham Hall Dining Center. And then I'd come back after lunch, and I'd watch General Hospital, and then I'd go to my afternoon class.
So we've had this discussion. I grew up with five girls, and they used to tape on the VCR.
Them. Oh, yeah.
They would tape Days of Our Lives, and we would come home. And so I knew all the characters, Patch, Hope, Bo, Marlena, you name them. And by the way, I saw him not too long ago sitting in a doctor's office. It's the same storyline. It's the same characters.
It's the same cast.
Yeah, I haven't even watched it in 30 years.
It's been on for 57 years. It's still the same cast.
Yeah, and it's the same storyline. But, you know, soap operas, they're over with now, buddy. They're coming to an end.
Yeah. There's a lot of soap out there, but nobody's selling their soap in the soap operas anymore.
He's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. We'll talk a little bit of football.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about Dick Vermeil. And guess who's coming in a little while to visit with us?
Charlie Brennan.
The legend of KMOX. Charlie Brennan will join us. It's Hancock Kelly on the DGS.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Hancock and Kelly Show, sitting in for the DGS. They'll be back on Monday. Trish, Rachel, Dave, Andrew, the whole gang will be right back here in this studio. And boy, I'll be glad to get back to it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's kind of cool for an entire show to take a vacation. That's something, you know, in this business.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
Glover, but I mean, you know, he took them to some place in the middle of Illinois and they're all staying in a presidential suite together.
I suspect that may be less than accurate.
Yeah. Well, yesterday he alleged that you and I lived together.
He did.
You got really upset about that.
Huh?
You got really upset. You wanted to make it clear that's not true.
Well,
we don't live together.
I live with my wife.
Yeah.
And I love you and all, but I mean, you know, I live with my wife.
Yeah. Hey, do you remember we used to have a football team? A couple of them.
Yeah, we did have a couple of them.
We had the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, 1960 to 1988.
Still looking for their first Super Bowl championship.
Yeah.
And we had the St. Louis Rams.
1995 to 2015, I believe.
And one of the very redeeming qualities of the Rams was Dick Vermeil. And, John, this weekend he is going into the Canton Football Hall of Fame.
Well-deserved. Yeah, he had led the Philadelphia Eagles as their headquarters. And he's going in with an Eagles jersey or an Eagles hat or whatever you do in the Football Hall of Fame. That's his hometown team, basically. He was the coach of the Eagles back in the 70s. Did take them to a Super Bowl, didn't win it, got defeated by John Madden and the Oakland Raiders. in that Super Bowl. And he had been out of football a long time. He'd been a commentator, and the Rams had kind of a bumpy start to their St. Louis tenure, 95, 96, so forth. Vermeil comes in 1998 or 99. But the year 1999 was a year we had acquired Marshall Faulk, and it was a team that had a lot of promise, a great, bright, young quarterback that we'd brought in, Trent Green. And during the preseason game, Trent Green falls and breaks his ankle. And
yeah, that was a preseason game.
Yeah, and he got tackled. He messed up his leg, and it was said that he was going to be out for the season. This was the great hope at quarterback that the Rams had, and it kind of
took the air out of the whole build-up to the season.
Yeah,
it really did.
I mean, we still had Marshall Faulk. We still had Isaac Bruce. We just drafted this promising left tackle named Orlando Pace, who would go on to a Hall of Fame career. But when Trent Green goes down, there was not a whole lot of optimism in St. Louis for what that 1999 season was going to be, because the quarterback they were going to rely on had just come out of the Arena Football League after stocking shelves at the Hy-Vee grocery store. He'd been on the taxi squad for the 49ers for a little bit, but he'd never really had much NFL experience. He'd played some in the preseason. And Dick Vermeil, in announcing Trent Green was going to miss the season in 1999, told us who our quarterback was going to be, and I'm sure many of you will remember this.
Now we've got Trent Green down. We've got Trent Green down in the middle of the field.
You get emotional? No. It hurts. But that's what this business is all about.
We are not going to use Trent Green as an excuse for losing.
We will rally around Kurt Warner, and we'll play good football.
And play good football they did. Don't you love Dick Vermeil? I mean, yeah. So emotional. The guy, he's like me. Somebody does a good rendition of the Canadian National Anthem, and I just start boo-hooing all over the place. And Vermeil's kind of the same guy. Very emotional.
Yeah, and he got teary quite a bit during, and rightfully so. I think all of us got teary. Never thought we would see a Super Bowl championship happen right before our eyes here in St. Louis.
And it just happened. And they were so explosive, and Kurt Warner was so accurate. And we had a pretty easy schedule that year because we finished so poorly. We may have had the easiest schedule in the NFL in the 1999 season. And the Rams stormed through that season, and we beat the 49ers, I remember, early on, and that's something that hadn't happened in a while at that point, a big rivalry between the Rams and the 49ers. And here we were going to make it to the playoffs, and here we're going to win our division. And there we win the first-round game. We win the NFC Championship game. The Rams are going to the Super Bowl against the Tennessee Titans, the favored Tennessee Titans in that Super Bowl. And we've got a little bit of audio from that Super Bowl in 2000.
All right, guys. Last play of the game.
McNair drops. Throws right side for Dyson. He dives for the end zone.
It's Nick. It's Nick. That's it. We win it.
I can't put it into words without getting emotional. It's just unbelievable, a sense of feeling. To me, it was humbling.
Hey, man. 3 years.
Yeah,
the charm,
huh? We won the Super Bowl.
We won the Super Bowl, did we not, huh? Did we win the Super Bowl?
Put him a thumbs up. Give him a thumbs up. Give him a thumbs up, right?
All right. I thought all the way back to my Eagles. I wish I would have been able to share that same experience.
You're a world champion, buddy.
I think there's a lot we all learned, starting with the old coach. We all learned, but the basic principles that it takes to win will never change. You surround yourself with good people and work hard and be unselfish and care and don't be embarrassed to say I love you and I appreciate it. And because, guys, if you say it, someone else will say it back to you. And guys, I love you. And you know that.
And that was Dick Vermeil, and he did love his players, and he was an old coach. I may have been the oldest coach in the football when the Rams won the title. He retired, and much like Tony La Russa, retired a champion, and much like Tony La Russa decided to come out of retirement, Vermeil with the Kansas City Chiefs, Tony La Russa now with the Chicago White Sox, and Dick Vermeil goes into the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, I mean, in Canton, Ohio, this weekend. And credit to NFL and NFL Films for that audio that we just listened to. Lots of fond memories there, Michael.
Did you ever get down to one of the games during that year?
Yeah, my parents were PSL holders. So
was my dad.
Saw a lot of them.
So listen to this.
Where were your seats?
Oh, on the roof. We were in the roof.
We were in the end zone.
But hold on a second. Wait till you hear this. If you remember, the year before we won,
yeah,
we were horrible.
You're not good. Yeah.
My dad said, I'm not renewing the tickets.
Oh, no.
Year. I'm done.
He gave them up.
We did. We gave up the tickets. Renew the seats.
Was that the touchdown Tony Banks era at quarterback and his dog Felony?
Mm-hmm.
He was the quarterback. Yeah, that dog didn't hunt. And then we brought Trent Green in, and there was a lot of optimism for 99. I don't think anybody expected the Rams would win the Super Bowl. But, man, they did. And that tackle we just heard Mike Jones making that tackle of Kevin Dyson on the 1 yard line.
Right.
On the last. I contend that was the most exciting ending to a Super Bowl ever. Now, the one where the Seahawks threw the interception on the last play in the end zone, similar, but that was just an incredible game, preceded by that 80-yard touchdown throw from Kurt Warner to Isaac Bruce, which was just unreal. I'll never forget those days.
Those were fun times back in the day. And so we're going to talk a little more football when we come back.
Do we have the author? Okay, great.
We're going to visit with who is this?
So Jason Reed, he's a senior NFL writer for ESPN, and he's written a book called The Rise of the Black Quarterback and What It Means for America. And, you know, there's so much. Well, we're such a baseball town. And our own Branch Rickey, who was the Cardinal general manager for years, ended up being the general manager for the Dodgers. And it was Branch Rickey that brought Jackie Robinson as the first black ball player in the history of Major League Baseball. All of us understand the historical significance of that. A much lesser known story is the lack of black quarterbacks in the NFL and what was really going into those decisions. And when that dam finally burst, you can make the case that today's NFL has just probably more talented black quarterbacks than it's ever had in its entire history. It's a really fascinating book. It's called The Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. Its author, Jason Reed, is our guest. Michael Kelly and John Hancock in for the vacationing DGS. They're back here on Monday, and we're back here right after the news on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly. Sponsored by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. On News Radio 1120, KMOX.
The National Football League. Hey, it's John Hancock alongside Michael Kelly, and we've got a book segment now that I'm very excited about. Just out. Its author is Jason Reed. He's the senior NFL writer for Andscape, ESPN's platform exploring the intersection of sports, race, and culture. And he has just written a book called Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. Its author, Jason Reed, joins us now. Mr. Reed, welcome to Camo X in St. Louis.
Well, it's just Jason, but thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Jason. And, you know, we are, St. Louis is a baseball town. And, of course, all of us have been told the significance of the Jackie Robinson story and what the integration of Major League Baseball meant culturally. A much lesser told story is the kind of discrimination that black athletes went through at the quarterback position in the NFL. You just didn't see any for so long. How much of that was, well, what fueled that?
Yeah, you know, it's really an interesting story, which is why I wrote the book. You have the NFL when it was in its infancy, you know, in 1920, the early 1920s, there were black players in the league. And then beginning in 1934 season, for about 12 years, there were no black players in the league. The owners just decided they didn't want them. But, you know, we got to remember that Major League Baseball in this country was the national pastime for such a long period of time. And the popularity of Major League Baseball just dwarfed the NFL. I mean, basically almost anything else. I mean, college football was also very popular in the country. But really, this was a baseball nation, you know, in terms of, you know, the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and even the 60s. It wasn't really until the 70s and then into the 80s where football started, the NFL in particular, became this 800-pound gorilla that dominated American popular culture. So, yeah, there was incredible racism that NFL players faced, and black players, and especially black quarterbacks, but really the sport wasn't in the national consciousness for most of the previous century, so that's why nobody really thought about it that much.
What types of stuff did these young African-American quarterbacks face?
Well, basically, you know, for most of the previous century, if you were a black quarterback in college, either at a historically black college or university or one of the few schools that permitted black players to play quarterback, you knew that if you were good enough to play in the NFL, you were going to have to switch positions. You would be moved immediately, cornerback or wide receiver or running back. I mean, those were the spots where you were moved to. And the thing about it wasn't like it was done on an individual basis where teams would evaluate a player going into the draft. No, it was just an understanding that collectively black players who were quarterbacks in college were not going to play quarterback in the NFL. And we see this really up until the 1970s.
Yeah, and it was in the 1970s, and I started paying attention to football. And one of my favorite quarterbacks when I was a little guy was James Harris of the Los Angeles Rams. And he was something else and was said a lot. He was not the first black quarterback, but he was the first one that really, really excelled.
Yeah, you know, you talk about James Shaq Harris, and I'm so fortunate because James gave me a lot of time for the book, and we talked a lot. First black quarterback to start a week one opener, first black quarterback to start a playoff game in the Pro Bowl. You know, and he had success with the Los Angeles Rams. The problem the Rams had was they ran up against those Dallas Cowboys, Tom Landry coach teams in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
They ran up against those Bud Grant, Minnesota Viking coach teams. So the Rams, I believe, if memory serves, won six or seven division titles in a row at one point, but they just couldn't break through against those teams. And ultimately, when it really comes down to it, a quarterback is measured now on does he win Super Bowls. And James had a very good career in terms of being a pioneer, but he didn't win Super Bowls, so you know a lot of people don't remember his story.
Well, and the thing that I found really interesting, one of the many things in this book, Jason, that I found really interesting was that Harris went on to have a very effective career in the front office. And, I mean, that's a contemporary issue right now, blacks in NFL front offices, but James Harris found and made an impact there.
He was a pioneer in two areas in the NFL. A pioneer is one of the first really successful black quarterbacks, and also he was a successful player personnel executive. He worked for the Baltimore Ravens. He worked for the Detroit Lions. I mean, the guy had an eye for talent, and he also could throw the football. And you look at what his career wound up being, the things that he accomplished, he really is one of the pioneers of the game. I mean, black or white, the things that James Harris accomplished as a quarterback and then accomplished as a player, personnel, executive, very impressive.
And then I think I remember this correctly from the book. The first black quarterback to lead a team to the Super Bowl was Doug Williams with the Washington Redskins. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. He was the first black quarterback to start in the Super Bowl and win the game's MVP award. And, you know, when Doug Williams had this incredible passing performance against the Denver Broncos in 1987, and the Washington Redskins just destroyed the Denver Broncos, Doug passed for like 340 yards and four touchdowns, he won the game's MVP award. That was really a seminal performance, because before that, the understanding, the belief among the people who controlled the NFL was that black quarterbacks simply weren't smart enough to succeed. And that performance, it didn't like open the floodgates in terms of the NFL completely changing its opinion of black quarterbacks, but it planted a seed like, well, wait a minute, you know, this may be just a one-off, but what if it's not?
Jason Reed is our guest. He is the senior NFL writer at Andscape. He's just written a book. It's called The Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. You could make a case right now, Jason, that this is the golden era of black quarterbacks in the NFL. And you just look at the talent, whether it's Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, you've got Russell Wilson just changing teams, Kyler Murray maybe changing teams, Deshaun Watson, and of course, Patrick Mahomes. Has there ever been a more rich environment of black quarterbacks in NFL history?
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, what I say, there has never been a better time in NFL history in this league that, you know, is 100-plus years old now to be a black man who plays quarterback. These quarterbacks have the biggest contracts. They are the faces of their teams. They have a once unfathomable power within the league. And, you know, you look at it, it really is a journey that was more than 100 years in the making. And what I like to say is that we're now in the era of the black quarterback. And what I mean by that is, all the superstars you just mentioned, and then there are younger guys who just got to hand the keys to the team, Trey Lance in San Francisco, Justin Fields in Chicago. And you look at the college level, at traditional powerhouses, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the USCs, all led by black quarterbacks. You go to the high school ranks, at these elite prep quarterback camps, you see black faces all around. So what my thing is that in another 5 to 10 years, it would not be shocking at all to see 12, 16 superstar black quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, and before we let you go, and it's a great book, folks, Rise of the Black Quarterback by Jason Reed. The position itself has evolved and changed quite a bit, and you see the dual threat quarterbacks that could beat you with their arm and beat you with their legs. You know, that was something that you just didn't see in the NFL 30, 40 years ago, or at least you didn't see it often. That's really kind of become the model, the prototype for this position.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, Lamar Jackson in with the Baltimore Ravens, he became only the second quarterback in the history of the NFL, the other being Tom Brady, to be a unanimous winner of the NFL AP MVP award. You look at a guy like Kyler Murray in Arizona, you know, he was an AP Rookie of the Year, after being the number one overall pick in the draft. These are guys who can do things with their legs. And then you also have classic dropback passers, you know, guys like Russell Wilson, I mean, you know, who also can get out the pocket and do things with his legs, Patrick Mahomes. So the position right now, in terms of quarterbacks just in general, but especially black quarterbacks, it really never has been better.
Well, folks, you'll learn about quarterbacks, you'll learn about football history, you'll learn about societal history as well. It's a really good book. Jason Reed, thanks so much for your time. The book is Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America, just for sale. You can get it anywhere.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. And when we come back, we have one more segment this hour. Next hour, Charlie Brennan is going to join us right here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMLX.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hancock and Kelly, this will be a lightning round political segment. Ooh. John Hancock,
right,
to wrap up the weekend. Yesterday, Alex Jones lost a civil lawsuit, and a Texas courtroom was ruled to have to pay $4.1 million to families of the Sandy Hook victims of the Sandy Hook.
Well, that was just the actual damages. They still have the punitive damages to be awarded in that case, and there's two other cases pending against him.
Quite warranted, I would agree. Do you agree?
Yeah. He's
a bad guy.
He's had a much more profound influence on American politics than you would might otherwise think. That whole conspiracy theory driven avenue that's out there is one that, in many respects, Alex Jones opened up, you know, single-handedly.
Yeah. Well, and the little bit I've seen him show, I mean, the guy just seems out there. I hope people realize he's crazy.
Well, not enough. I mean, there are people that hang on every word he says. I mean, that's just the reality.
Jobs report came out today. The most jobs, they were expecting it to be 250,000 jobs. It wound up being 500,000 jobs. We are now up over the amount of jobs we had pre-pandemic.
Yeah, that's good news, and it may stem this recessionary pressure that the economy has been under in the first two quarters. Remains to be seen, but clearly that was good news. Now we need to make sure that the wages in this country are doing a better job of keeping up with inflation, because right now they are not.
Gas down again for the 17th straight week since it hit its peak.
Yeah, this is also encouraging, coming at a time when people are doing a lot of travel. You think about folks getting in the car and heading north during these very hot weeks of August that we're all living through and suffering through. And, yeah, it's good to see the gas prices come down. And hopefully that could have some impact on reducing the inflationary rate in the country, because that's really ultimately what's affecting everyone, every single one of us.
Missouri has a late primary. We had that vote on Tuesday. You all know the results of that. In 2 weeks, we'll have, I believe this is the final wave of primaries, and one of them will be Liz Cheney, as well as Sarah Palin also showing back up on a ballot.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. There were 45 candidates for that congressional seat in Alaska. It was open. Don Young, the longtime incumbent, passed away. So this is a special election. And they used ranked choice voting in Alaska. And so there were 45 candidates that ran for that in the primary. And the top four now will appear on this ballot later this month. And voters will get to select their number one choice first. And if they so choose, their second choice second, third choice, and so forth. Palin's on that ballot. There's two Democrats and two Republicans on that ballot that voters will have to choose from. That's going to be one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and then the political season should be... The primary political season should be wrapping up, and we start to slide in November. Polling's changing daily. Hey, you're going to want to stick around for our next hour. We're going to take you all the way up to Cardinal baseball. We are going to be joined by the legend himself, none other than Charlie Brennan.
It was so good to hear Charlie back on the air. He was filling in for us this morning.
Yeah, and how about that?
That's kind of fun. Kind of an honor.
I'd like that audio.
He's going to be with us right here on the Voice of St. Louis. That's next hour at 5:30. Game Alex.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.